Courtney Love.
Hi, are we gonna go now?
You are in my you're in my house.
Oh, I'm in Anna Faris's house.
It's so I feel like if your brain could have an orgasm, it's happening right now.
Oh my god, that's so sweet.
No, I cannot thank you enough for being here.
That is so sweet.
You are a hero, and I just love you so much, and I just can't believe you're here.
Well, thank you, Anna.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm very flattered.
Oh, boy.
You have been excited for a long time.
For a long time.
This
remember how you were all excited about Shaq?
Yes, this is your Shaq. This is your Shaq.
But bigger than... I mean, I love Shaq. I love my Shaq. But it's Courtney Love. Okay, so I have a few questions, if you don't mind. They're pretty easy.
Okay.
I think.
Alrighty.
Alright, so I wanted to ask you about the love of acting versus the love of performing live, because I have a couple of thoughts about it. Never having performed live except for like dinky theater performances.
Right.
You know how when you're on a film set and like most of the crew is slightly resentful that, you know, just that you're there and because they want to go home because they're doing their job. They're not an audience.
Right.
And so there's not the kind of the exhilaration that I would imagine.
No, you want to impress the crew. You get into that place where you like, oh, they're at overtime. They're getting paid a fortune. They're all Teamsters, but unless you're doing an indie, but still you want to impress the crew. You get into that mindset. It gets really weird.
And then it's really hard because a lot of them are like, yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, they don't care. The boom guy does not care. He's going to go work on the next Tom Cruise movie. He doesn't give a shit about you, so...
But then I imagine the reverse of performing in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, that kind of exhilaration must give a whole different kind of...
Yeah, it's an instant payoff and definitely gives you a big adrenaline high. It's like kind of like climbing a mountain, I would imagine, or exercising really hard or whatever. But the difference is that in acting, you work these little moments where, you know, you used to hurry up and wait, you hurry up and wait, you hurry up and wait, and then you've got to let it up in an explosion. That guy Ed Zwick once said to me that Denzel Washington's blood temperature or blood pressure, that Denzel's blood pressure went down when he acted. I always thought that was really good acting advice.
How can you control that? That sounds amazing. Like, I would love to be able to do that.
Make your blood pressure go down when you act, and then you really can get in the zone. But the reward is so different. The reward of performing is you've performed. How many t-shirts did I sell? I feel great. I need to either go out and fist fight someone or, you know, sleep with someone or get some acupuncture or something. But with acting, you get amped, but it's not the same kind of getting amped. But it all adds up to these little moments coming into a movie. And if the movie's any good, which we don't always know.
Right. You don't know until like 9 or 10 months later.
You don't know until 9 or 10 months later. And then if in my case, in one occasion, we thought we were doing a movie that was like the Titanic that was going down. And then we were all in the elevator at the Kodak Theater at the Academy Awards. So, you know, and that's an exhilaration that you can't, it's beyond the rock and roll. And the most I've played for is 200,000 people. And it goes beyond that. It really goes beyond that.
I can't imagine though, looking out into a sea that was a of trip. 200,000 people.
Yeah, it was actually 190,000
Where
people.
Where was that?
Sydney, Australia.
But I love it that you revised. It's so sweet.
Well, it wasn't 200. It was 190. I'm trying to write a book right now, so everything has to be accurate. You can't exaggerate. You can't say, oh, it was 220. That was 190.
But no, I truly couldn't imagine looking out into a sea of people.
You can't see them. After 20,000, they just melt. You can't see them
but
anymore.
But you must be able to hear them, right?
Not really so much. No. I mean, it's you play a 10,000 seater, you play a 100,000 seater, there's a vibe that's maybe different, but they just start to melt. It's you know what the number you're playing, so your mojo gets up, you get kind of high off that. Yeah. But you get pumped, but it doesn't really make that big a difference after 10,000.
Was there any more reward of playing like with 200 people? Because you could see them?
I have played small shows, and I've played them recently. You know, last year I toured with Lana Del Rey after playing a brief stint of playing for like 2,000-3,000 seaters. I didn't really like them. they're not as fun as 10,000 seaters. They're just not as fun as 20,000 seaters. You just like, you get a bigger vibe. You can control it. If you have a messianic complex, which I do.
I don't know what that means.
It means I think I'm the Messiah and I want you to drink my Kool-Aid when I'm upset.
I shot
a tequila and I think I'm Gisette. You know what I mean? Like it's
well, I'm worshiping the Messiah of you.
Oh no, you it's in the wrong area. You have to see me perform and then you can do it. I can't pull them in like that anymore. Until I do this book, I'm doing a book right now, and until I finish the book, I can't put a record out. And until I put a record out, I can't get that huge crowd again. So after the Lana tour, it was like, if it's not going to be like this, like them knowing every word and it being like 20,000 people, I don't want to do it. It's too dingy.
Yeah.
It's too dingy.
Well, I mean, it's not dissimilar. I think, I don't know, like the ebbs and flows of like
acting
careers.
Stuff. Yeah, it's up and down, man.
I'm lucky that I started out like kind of with the lowest brow of lowest brow with the
well,
scary
movies.
Well,
you did House so Bunny, much. Right?
Yes, and but we still loved, expectations.
But
remain
I remember,
low.
I remember Heather Perry, who's a dear friend of mine, putting that together, and
yeah,
we love Heather.
Yeah,
yeah, and she loves you.
Yeah, no, she's
she was telling me all about how glorious you are, and you were the second coming of Goldie Hawn.
Oh.
All that stuff. Well, and I saw it. It was such a good movie.
Just give me a few more. Just give me until I'm 55 and
yeah.
I'll see what happens.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Okay, so I have a few more questions. Are you ready?
Sure.
I was talking to Sam earlier about how while I love music, I don't view it as an escape anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
oh, I do.
Like on my commute, I listen to either news or podcasts or other things, because when I listen to music that I love, I really tend to get a bit internal, and because I like darker music, I tend to. So for me, in an odd way, depressing news and newsy podcasts are an escape for me,
sure.
From my brain,
sure.
And I don't know, as a musician, do you ever feel that way? That
it depends. Like, you know, if I'm listening to Sirius, I listen to like Lithium, which is like all the '90s songs, and like a lot of them are actually about me, which is like interesting. But like, like there's like so many Smashing Pumpkins songs about me. There's like a Bush song about me. I remember I told this to this ex. I used to date this one movie star, and I'm like, it was in the 90s, and we were listening to K-Rock, and there was like six songs in a row, and like five of them had been about me. And I told him that. He goes, "No, they aren't." And I was like, "Oh yeah, they are. They actually really are. I dated every one of those guys, dude." And he was like, "You're just a slut." But
but no, wait, Courtney, you and I are making eye contact right now, and I have to tell you, you are so fucking sexy.
Oh, thank you.
You are so fucking sexy.
That's so sweet. Sorry,
no, well, go on.
Go on,
but,
darling.
But no, but truly, you're fucking smoking. Sorry.
Thank you.
See, I want to write, if I knew how to write a song, I would write a song about you.
Thank you. But some people would write songs about me that I didn't date. Like Stone Temple Pilots wrote a song about me that was just shooting fish in a barrel, like a self-destructive blonde chick. You know what I mean? Like they'd write the self-destructive blonde chick
song
and say that's
about... Oh, because they just want to fuck you.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But
Scott Weiland wanted to fuck you?
I never did. I got him out of rehab once. We had an adventure. We stayed at Shutters. I got him into rehab, but we never did that. No. I never dated him, or whatever you want to call it.
He's mad.
I have this very old-fashioned type boyfriend now who like, when someone hangs out or just has sex, he calls it dating. I'm like, it's not dating. It's just called sleeping together. But
I like how gently you put that.
It's just like, oh, you dated so-and-so? I'm like, no, I just...
I fucked for like a week.
Whatever. It's not dating.
Do you think there should be a better word, like a better verb for women besides, like, because there
besides
should,
fucking or
yeah, like,
well, hanging out, sleeping with.
Yeah, but that sounds so gentle. We should have our own ownership. Like, I don't know.
I think fucking is fine.
You do?
Yeah, okay. I fucked him for a week.
Yeah, yeah, all right. I'm tending to
agree. Let's not make anything big about it. It's like, really, that guy?
No, because I was thinking like, I don't know, did I ham? But I was going to say like hammer, but of course they do the hammering. And so anyway, I was just,
no,
I was
we just went trying to do a brainstorm. Of like, we ordered up.
Stop. I got pounded by him, but then that seems like you're a victim.
That's submissive. And, no. I like fuck, it's more dominant. Yeah, totally, like totally.
Yep, yep, fine.
But in you terms win. Of music, if it's not X, you know, serious, like modern music, like iHeartRadio stuff, I can't stand most of that shit. So it's none of it. It's pop music right now is really in a slump for me. I haven't heard some decent. The airways are squeaky clean, and no one is speaking to me right now.
So. Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Yeah, I really like that band War on Drugs.
Oh, I haven't heard them. Are they good?
You might really like them.
Oh, okay. I'll take a listen.
They are speaking to me in a way. I grew up in Seattle from 83 to 1999.
Oh, no. Really?
I really
did.
Oh,
so you know a lot about me. Wow.
So they're like, I know it's annoying because maybe I grew up there, so I feel an extra like kinship and worship towards you.
I grew up in Portland more than Seattle.
Fine, dear diary. This has been the biggest disappointment of my life.
I thought Seattle was too big a city. And then after my husband died, I didn't want to stay there, and I had to stay there for like 3 more years because that's how long it takes to settle someone's estate.
Oh gosh,
it's a state settling. It's a really depressing topic. But music, I'll listen to the War on Drugs.
Yeah,
I'll write it down.
I'll try to send it to you because it's moved me in an age where I don't feel very inspired by a ton of music.
I really like Lana Del Rey. It's like good chill music to do yoga to.
Yeah,
I do a lot of yoga to Lana.
If only I did yoga.
Well, I do yoga now. I have to. I gained some weight, so I gotta do some yoga, at least. And just it gets de-stresses me and like.
But do you
helps.
Ever find that like, I hate being alone with my mind. That like.
Well, I also am a Buddhist. I chant every day. I chant Namiho Rinkeko. So I sit there and I go Namiho Rinkeko, Namiho Rinkeko, Namiho Rinkeko, like that. And I'm alone with my mind, man. Like
that is terrifying to me.
Yeah, it's just today,
my mom does the same thing. I know that chant because she tried to teach it to me. Right,
Sokagakai.
Yeah, she does it every day.
Yeah, I do it every day, twice.
I feel like your mom and Courtney have a lot in common.
It seems like that, right? I never would have guessed, but I guess they do.
But it gets things done. It does actually manifest stuff. So
really?
Yeah, it works. Or I wouldn't do it. I've been doing it for 20 years.
It's like hard work, though.
It is hard work.
Ugh.
Really hard work. It's like cardio. It's it's brain cardio. It's soul cardio. It's really hard, and you're alone with your mind.
That's the part that just terrifies. I don't even like to get a massage because I don't like being alone with my- I'm the annoying client that's like chatting with a masseuse. It's like, where are you from?
Oh, oh really?
How did you get a massage? And isn't it hard to like, work on five people one
chat
day?
To me. Oh my God, Anna, that's so funny. I can't stand. It's like on Sooth, I've been using it a little bit. It's, you know, it's okay. But I've been giving like, no one gets 5 points for me. I'm like, you know, I'm the 3 point giver. And then I just write, talks too much.
Oh my
if
God.
If it goes past how are you and where do you hurt, I'm like,
can
talks too
do
much.
Can we do a YouTube video one day where I give you a massage and
you talk too much and I throw you out of my house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get a little abusive towards me? Yeah. That would be really fun.
I'm happy to get abusive to you.
It's also going to be a really bad massage.
5 pound extra tummy hanging out in my little panties.
But I will tell you how sexy you are.
I don't feel unsexy because I have 5 pounds extra on me. I just, it's there.
I thought you would maybe give me another like half a star if I compliment you a lot. I'm just going to talk.
Thank you.
Okay, so now listen. Here are things. This is a segment called Deal Breaker or Not. And this is about dating. And I know that you are in a relationship, but you don't have to talk about that. But we're going to do a few imaginary scenarios, if you don't mind.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Let's say you are crazy about your new boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
He just told you his favorite time of year is when the McRib is released.
Oh my God. Really? That's a deal breaker. I'm a snob. That's a deal breaker.
Fair okay. enough. Okay.
That's like a funny question. Get real. Give me a real one.
We're going to get there.
All right. You're easing me in.
Okay. You are still crazy about your new boyfriend. He likes to be choked while he climaxes.
Not a deal breaker. I'm all up for adventure. Adventure is fine.
You are crazy about your new boyfriend. He is a man of German heritage.
Okay.
His family has a large collection of beer steins, not unlike those over there.
Okay.
One night during a passionate lovemaking session, he asked you to take the pointiest stein and put it up his butt. Deal breaker.
Not a deal breaker.
Yeah, Courtney Love. Yeah.
I mean, curious as to what happened to him when he was 5 or 6, 7 or 8 on a Freudian level, but he wants the point of a beer stein up his ass.
They are kind of point. You might have to take them like,
I'll
to a free clinic.
Yeah, no, I'll lube that thing up and lube it up and help
them out.
Oh,
you're generous.
There is nothing wrong with sexual adventure. I don't see the problem.
Okay. After 8 months of dating your passionate new boyfriend, he suddenly proposes to you. The next day, he tells you he wants to run 2 marathons and climb the 3 highest peaks in the world and will be leaving for 11 months. This is his passion.
So he's proposed to me and then he wants to go climb K2 or something?
Yeah.
How much money does he have?
Mount Blanc. Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. I like Sam.
Yeah.
Sam Lefty, everyone. Courtney's manager is here with us as well.
He's my day-to-day manager. I have several managers.
Oh, okay.
He's in finance. He does well.
He's my business partner.
Business partner.
It depends on how much money he has, Sam.
So you're okay with
the... No, I'm a gold digger, straight up, baby. No, I'm kidding. If he proposed to me and then made me wait, it would depend on how much money he has. Can he afford to keep me, you know, like, I can afford him to keep myself in the style I'm accustomed to, but like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm a little on the phone. Right. Might be a deal breaker. I'm going to go climb K1, K2, Everest.
Because I just don't want...
Wait, he's going to climb the 3 highest mountains and he's going to do...
Yeah, and then he's going to run like 2 marathons.
Yeah, but I wouldn't end up with that kind of a guy. That's not my type of guy.
I mean, it's not my type of guy either. Because
beer steins I can see, but you know, Everest.
I like ambition in small doses.
Yeah. All right. What's the next one,
Courtney? Let's say you really love hummingbirds.
Okay.
Do you? I don't know if you do or not.
Sure, they're beautiful. We'll
get, yeah. Okay, you are dating a new guy that you really love. For your birthday, he presents you with a package. Inside is a dead hummingbird he caught for you. Is that a deal breaker?
Like taxidermied, or is this when it's dead?
Nope, he just caught it for you, and he thought you would love it.
Not a deal breaker. Just an accident. I mean, did he break the neck of the...
Yeah, no, he caught it for you and packaged it up.
Oh, deal breaker. He's crazy. He's a serial. He's a serial.
But he
killer.
Really thought
Sam
you would love
Sam wants to know
it.
How much money he has.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, so you're traveling around Burma, and a group of children come up to you and your boyfriend trying to sell you small homemade blankets. Your boyfriend says, no, I was told once, he says to you, no, you can't give to them. I was told once you start giving, you can't stop.
Oh, you're asking me if that's a deal breaker for him to say that? No, I would just ignore him. I'd think he was a tool when it came to money. And then think he was a tool when it came to money. And then finance being one of the root,
roots
of any relationship.
Then you would
be rich
like
or poor.
It's
in Burma, how much is a blanket? 2 rupees? I mean, come on. You're talking about 22 cents. So it's just like, how are you with money? How are you with passion? How are you with love? How are you with values? How are you with religion? How are you with judgment? How are you with denigrating other people? How are you with kindness? I would think that, you know, I mean, I was just in India with somebody that I'm intimate with, and Sam was there. Did we give in the slums or
we
not?
We weren't allowed to.
We weren't allowed to, because it would start mm-hmm. a real chaotic situation. Mm-hmm. So we weren't allowed to do it. We wanted to.
But it sounds like this person
I believe
said
Sam
that.
Started to.
I did and created a
Yeah, there was a whole ruckus around him.
Sam, I thought you were a gold digger as well, though.
No.
Okay, one last question, and then we're going to go to callers.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
You've been seeing this guy for 5 months. He's amazing. You've just had an awesome date. You went to a great sushi dinner and then home for a night of hot loving.
Right.
After, he goes to the bathroom to wash up or whatever. You decide to go, you know, into his closet to get a t-shirt and maybe some boxers or whatever. And you see a video camera with a red light on. He potentially has been recording everything.
Oh, wow.
What's your reaction?
Go grab him off the toilet and grab him by his hair. Hope I pull a bunch of it out and probably beat the hell out of him.
So it sounds like it's not a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker. That's evil.
Isn't
That's
it?
Some evil. That's just evil. I'd call Sam right here, and I'd get him to get Ray Donovan and call my lawyer immediately. I mean, I actually, before I went in the bathroom, I'd take a breath. I'd call my lawyer. I'd call my Ray Donovan.
You would? You be that rational? I don't know if I would.
I would. I would, because it's too much on the line. So I'd be that rational. I'm like, I'm staring at a camera. I take a picture of it. The last time I made a sex tape, which wasn't even that long ago, I did it because the person was a lot younger than me. But otherwise, it's like...
Guys just want to brag to each other.
I don't know. I made him delete it.
They just want to fucking brag to each other.
I know, but why do girls do it? Like,
I don't know.
Girls have...
Do girls do it?
Girls participate in it, yeah.
They participate in it, but... But no, do they actually? But are they the ones that are like
thing. Girls are just as aggressive about making sex tapes as guys are. It's not about brag. It's about girls have a lot of sex.
Wait a minute.
A
do you think
she talks about other people's daughters?
Really?
Yeah.
So they're like, so girls are like, oh, look, I can't wait to show my friends, like, how this guy boned me.
All those celebrities like Jennifer Lawrence and all those girls, they all had nude and sexual content pictures on their phone when they got hacked. And it's none of our business.
Yeah, but that
but
was...
why was it there?
Because it was under like the illusion, because we were duped, I think, that it was going to be private and just sexy.
Yeah, but that's not my point. My point is, why do you do it? It's private. Is it risk taking?
Totally.
So it's risk taking in the fact that you might get hacked.
Totally.
You're a famous girl.
Totally.
You're a very famous girl, and you do this like sexually charged videotape, and you keep it on your phone, and you don't delete it. See, this is where the generations are just split, because I don't understand that. I have no porn in my past. There's one picture of me when I'm a stripper on a pole going like this. It's for a poster. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, and I'm wearing pasties and little G-string. So nothing's going to come out about me.
But see, but it wasn't sort of like, so I'm just saying that I think that the fundamental motivations are different. Like,
naked picture is one thing, but a picture of doing the deed of actual intercourse.
But I would never be like, I need to take a picture of his dick because I got to show it to my friends.
Girls, I know of girls that demand dick pictures.
Really?
Like, yes. Yeah, I have.
Really?
I have a 23-year-old
shit,
daughter.
Man.
So
I am
she
out
has
of
friends.
It.
Not to say she's one of them.
She's certainly not. She's in no way one of them. But she has friends, and she's like tied into the whole community of like kids of. So she's like, it's like kids of movie stars, kids of, you know, power brokers, etc. And those kids are dirty, man. They're
but
dirty
least,
kids.
I kind of love it that at least like a girl is like, I need a dick
pic.
Show
me your dick.
Because I'm going to pass it on to my friends and we're all going to make fun of it.
I suppose. I don't know. I don't understand it.
Is that what happens?
I don't know.
Oh, it's so awful. I don't want that to happen either. But it's still...
How many kids do you have?
One.
How old?
Four. He's about to turn four.
Saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the one making all that noise, annoying him. Jack.
Jack. Oh, yeah. He's so cute.
Thanks. I think that's what everyone's supposed to say, right?
Yeah, he is really cute, though.
Well, thanks. Okay, now this is one last question before we get to calls, because this is a little bit of a reoccurring theme. If the man that you've fallen in love with, if his balls smell like old Cheerios.
Well, I did once... I didn't date, but I did the other thing with someone we just call, our code name for him is Old Balls. And the less said about it, the better.
But you can't just dangle that out there.
She just did.
I just did, and that's the end of it.
That's
all
you're getting. That's all we're
going to
get.
Damn.
Yeah. Old Balls.
Right.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
Next
we like to
time,
block that
Courtney.
One out.
It never happened.
And the old Cheerios smell was what, you know, killed it. No, old balls. Not a good deal. Not a good look.
I don't know. We talk a lot about the Cheerios smell of balls. But.
Old Cheerios smell of balls. Nice. I'll keep that forever in my heart, Anna.
Okay.
You
so
ready?
Wait,
should we,
yeah. Now
should
we're
we
gonna
callers?
Call. Yep. We're gonna call. Two people, two strangers.
Okay.
I don't know what their issues are, but we always pride ourselves on being really kind to them and hearing them out.
So why don't I go, fuck you, and, you know, sticking where the sun don't
But if she
shine.
Has real advice and she does, you know, whatever,
however
she's
she, going
yeah,
to.
Of
she's kind and she has a lot of
Take a beat
wisdom.
Oil it up. I know a good lube. It's at the hustler store.
Oh, my God.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So we're calling Emily now. Emily is in Georgia and she's 24.
Hello.
Hey, Emily. It's Sim.
Hi, Emily.
Hey, guys.
Anna's here.
Hi,
and
Emily.
Courtney Love is also here with us.
Hey, Courtney.
Hi.
So, Emily, your fiance is keeping you a secret from everyone in her life, including her close friends and family. Give us a little bit of background here. What's going on?
Okay, background story about us. We've been together for 3 years. We recently got engaged in Washington, D.C. in December. I mean, we have a textbook perfect relationship. We are very, very happy, but our only problem in our relationship is I'm a complete and utter secret. She can't tell her family. She can't tell anybody in her life because we live in the South. It's just like people, I mean, it's, you know, common misconception. I mean, people don't, you know, accept gay people in these parts, basically.
Right.
Basically. And her family is very, very religious. And
is she out to her family?
No, they have no idea she's even dating anyone.
Oh
babe.
And you two
I'm
are
so
living
sorry.
Together too, right?
Yeah, we've been living together for about 2 years now.
So the root cause of this is just plain old homophobia that, like, she's not even out to her family.
Yeah.
Are you out to your family?
Oh, yes. My family has all but legally adopted her. I mean, they refer to her as her daughter, granddaughter. My whole even extended family knows we're together and engaged. Everybody's happy for us. We're very close to them. And I just, and my heart breaks for her because she can't be open to her friends and family.
Right.
And it's, and you know, it's a burden on me too, because I would love to meet all these people because, you know, those are people in her life too. And it's coworkers, friends, family. I mean, only one close friend, lifelong friend of her knows. And that's only because she's a very open-minded person, and that's it.
Hey, Emily, I have a question. So do you think that it would come, like, on a scale of, like, let's say 1 to 5, what degree of shock would it come to her family that she came out? Do you think that...
A 10.
Really?
A 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, they really have no idea. They haven't questioned,
absolutely,
like, why
no idea.
She hasn't wanted to date a man, or, like, she hasn't...
I mean, yeah, I mean, she... I mean, We haven't even had, like, a boy around our family since we were in, like, early in high school. I mean, but because of this, she has kept her family and her friends at arm's length.
Right.
Nobody, and, like, her family doesn't even know where she lives.
Oh,
wow.
Gosh. That must be so hard
and it's
for all, her.
And it's because of this.
Oh, that must be so hard for you both.
That's just terrible.
I'm so sorry. But I'm also so happy that you guys get to, like, celebrate this incredible time in your life.
I know, and that's I mean, we're having such a hard time with that because we, you know, we want to get married, but when we're already at that point that, you know, if they're going to know, they need to know. But how in the world do she even break it to them? Or, I mean, at this point, should she? I mean, she's made the comment, we just need to move away.
Oh, gosh.
Like, move north of here. Move somewhere where people are understanding, and one day we can raise children together.
Well,
because I mean, we live in the Deep South, and people around here, they are not okay with it.
Wow.
Oh man, this is such a. Oh.
I mean, my stepdad was gay for like 6 years when I was like 7. I called him a big gay dad. We're from California. It's like He was sporting the handkerchief coat and his Levi's and doing the rainbow t-shirts and, you know, when I was like 12 and taking me down to the Castro and to the white swallow and the stud. So, you know, I've just been around gay people my whole life. They raised me and I wouldn't even be where I was if it wasn't for gay people. So I don't even know. You know, I remember I did this march for guns on Washington with Rosie O'Donnell, and she told me that 9 out of 10 Americans are closeted. And I was like, what? Right. Really? They don't all live in San Francisco, New York, and L.A.? Like, I guess not. This is really tragic.
Just because, I mean, it's like a foreign idea to these people. Like, they don't believe it exists.
Yeah, they also believe that God created the world in 6 days, and that we don't come from evolution.
Exactly, and see, in my family is I grew up in a very Christian home. I was in private school my entire life. My, you know, my family's religious, but they're very open minded and welcoming, right. And they love us no matter what. It's just she doesn't have the pleasure of having that, you know, in her life.
Wow. So she, like, really would this mean her never being able to talk to her family again, like, for the rest of her life?
She feels like if she told her family, her mother would shun her from her entire family. And the entire family, like extended family, they all listened to her. And so they would follow her wishes and not talk to her either.
Here's the thing, but it has to happen, right? The conversation has to happen.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. And I mean, you know what? Even if you're going to move.
It's been avoided for years.
And
but we're at that point now. It's kind of like do or die. We, you know, it's got to happen.
And you know what, though? This will be a true test of.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's a very sore subject between us two. It's just,
I'm sure. Oh, my God.
But I mean, it's literally the only thing we can't talk about with one another. We're very open. Like I said, we've got a perfect relationship. It's just it's this one little thing, but it's not a little thing. It's a big thing.
Oh, it's a hard thing.
It's terrible. But I think what Sim said is true. It's just that she's going to have the conversation with her mother at some point, you know, whether it ends in rejection or not. You can't just live a lie.
And whether or not she's with you or, you know, not with you. You know what I mean?
If she gets rejected, I've done concerts for the LGBT center here, and kids end up on the street, like young kids, 12, 13, 14, from the Deep South, from anti-tolerant families. And they end up, you know, homeless. They end up doing prostitution. They end up with all sorts of gnarly, gnarly, gnarly stuff because their families have rejected them.
I mean, it's sickening.
You know, you guys are in a place where you're financially not dependent on these people. And you can come out, but you have to come out. You can't keep it in. The more people that come out, the better. And I don't think you can live a lie.
Wait till you're financially independent.
Yeah, well, you are financially independent, right?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so they're doing
but,
fine.
But Emily, so I think that whether, like, with or without this relationship, this is a conversation that your fiance needs to have with her family that's kind of independent
and
of
her,
you.
And,
you know what I mean? Like, it just has to happen at some point in her life.
Her thing was, and she's got a cousin that she's close to, the like closest one in her family, and she feels like she could tell her, but she's gonna have like a little bit of backlash from her. But her idea was like, could she tell this cousin and let the cousin spread the word, or does she actually need to have like a sit down, tell mom sort of thing?
Yeah.
Do you have a wedding date, by the way? Do you have a wedding date?
Yep, November 4th,
2017. Ooh, I love it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know what? And you know what? People, there's going to be a lot of people in all of our lives that disappoint us. But then there's, at the same time, there's going to be a lot of people in our lives that surprise us. And let's bet on the people that surprise us. And
well, let's hope she surprises us.
Yeah, she might.
Because my main thing is I would never get rid of that guilt if I'm the one that came between her and her family.
She's a homosexual.
Nope. Listen,
she needs to come out to her mother as a homosexual.
This is not
independent
so much
of you.
That's right. It is not about you because even without you, she would be, you know, it, like, relieve yourself of the guilt of it being a part of your relationship. Understand that it's ownership of your own sexuality. And yeah, it doesn't have a ton to do with, I mean, it has, it does have a lot to do with your partner, but it also has a lot to do with independence.
Yeah, I agree.
I think she needs to tell her mother, end of story, it has nothing to do with you, be supportive, that she needs to tell her mother, that's the end of it. I hate to be so harsh, but, like, that's the story.
It just needs, it needs to come out that way.
Yeah.
Expect the worst.
But, yes, exactly. But it needs to come out soon.
For the worst.
And she should do it sooner than later. I mean, we're talking about, they're getting married in little over a year, so she should probably do it sooner than later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Emily, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you
so
much.
Much.
Really appreciate it.
Good luck.
All right, good night.
Congratulations. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
What could I have done better?
I don't feel you could have done anything. And don't get down on yourself.
And I feel like she needed to talk it out.
The chick needs to tell her mom.
Yeah.
End of.
Yeah.
Totally. They're financially independent. They're not going to end up being prostitutes in Venice. Mm-hmm.
You're completely right.
Or having to need the LGBT, you know,
but
shelter.
Still, you know what? And sometimes we don't give the people in our lives the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes they actually rise to the occasion and they're they treat us
and if
like
if they're good Christians, they'll be good Christians and they'll be loving about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
And they won't want to lose you in their lives.
Exactly.
All right. We are calling Catherine and she's in New York and she's 39 years old.
Oh my gosh. That's like decade
right.
younger than me.
Yeah. As Betty Davis said, oh, to be 35 forever. Oh, to be 35 forever.
Hello.
Hey, Catherine, it's Sim. How are you?
Hi, Sim. Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Anna's here, and Courtney Love is also here with us.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Can you believe it, Courtney Love? I'm kind of drooling.
I'm really excited to talk to you.
Good. Well, Catherine, we talked about finances earlier in the podcast.
Oh,
You're frustrated with your boyfriend's view on finances.
Oh, God.
This is going to be great. I'm so glad you talked about this earlier, Courtney. This is going to be hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Feel like what I'm feeling of like the frustration? It's really frustrating to have like very different opinions about finances.
Word.
Yeah. And like when both of you have a different opinion about how you pay for dinner and how you pay for anything.
Give us some examples.
Complicated very quickly.
What's an example?
Well, for example, like my boyfriend wants to save the receipts for things and tally things.
Right.
And that's totally valid.
Right.
However, also, I feel like, well, you, me. But, like, we just go back and forth. And, like, both of us have, well, you take one, I take one. You take one, I take one.
Do you go Dutch? Can I ask you a question? Do you go Dutch to stuff? Do you split the bill on everything? Did you not used to go Dutch?
No.
Why? What happened?
Well, it's just, you know, it's like very hard to recognize where the change is.
Right.
It's just like all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh, wait, is this happening now? Like you don't even see it coming.
Right.
Like all of a sudden it's just what's happening. And you're like, I'm not sure I'm okay with this.
Right.
Because did it used to be like this? And then you realize, wait, it didn't used to be like this. And then all of a sudden,
you
don't see it coming.
I gotta be honest with you. I'm not known as a saver. And I'm a bit of a baller, if you ask me.
This is my problem. Is it like this is my struggle? Is it I'm not either? I am not great about it, and my boyfriend is amazing. He's an amazing saver.
Yeah, there's amazing, and then there's like over the line. Like we'll save $222 if we go in 3 days.
Well, that's it. That's what I'm saying.
Catherine, you were talking about, so he's cheap in certain ways, right? Like you're saying that sometimes he's, you know.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Who makes more money? Do you make equal money?
About the same. No, it's about the same.
Okay. Does he disapprove of the way you spend?
He's,
Does he disapprove of the way you spend?
Yes.
Dump him.
Yeah. Is there anything he can do about it? He can't do anything about it, right?
No, no.
So if you want to buy a couch from Anthropology, you're going to do that.
If I want to buy whatever I want to buy, then I'm going to fucking buy it.
Yeah, but like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I don't want to be just for it. And like now we live together and we're sharing the expenses. So now it gets more complicated, right?
Yeah, when you intertwine, have you moved in together yet?
Are we living together?
Yeah, they're living together.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're fucked. Yeah. I'm sorry.
What?
If her finances and his finances now, are like, mixed up.
Do we start making a spreadsheet? I don't think that's very romantic.
Wait, what do you want? What do you want him to do? Like, what in your ideal situation, what would it be?
I want to maintain the spontaneity of being together without thinking about every single dime that we spend.
We've got a lot of opinions here in the room here.
Yes, we do.
Great.
This is a common LA story. Right?
So what are the opinions?
Not the guy for you. So Kiwi is saying, well, not the guy for you. She's putting a hard line and saying, dump the guy. That's Kiwi's opinion.
No.
No, make a line. No. She's wrong. What you do is you make a line, a demarcation, and you say, my money's my money, your money's your money, and you make that a sacred space so that, like, you have your money, you do what you want with it, and it's none of his damn business.
You've got to.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming you're in the creative class and you're like, you know, doing all right. If you're living in Manhattan, you're doing okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's like, I do this in my relationships. My money is my money. They don't have to approve of it. They don't have to like that I go to Barney's and drop baller money on, you know, a Lon Von Sheerling. I don't fucking care.
On affairs.
I think we're talking about a different bracket.
I understand. But you know what I'm saying. Anthropology couch got you. You understood Anthropology couch.
Saving receipts versus like you got one, I get one. Like
right.
That.
I think you just make it a sacred space. It's like this is my money and I'm going to do what I want with it. And until we're married and then go to counseling. I don't know.
That was terrible advice.
So what happens when we share expenses? I mean,
I don't know. Ask Anna because she's married with a child.
I'm like, I want to buy, you know, things for our bed that are going to be better for our bed, and and like that's not a shared expense. Mm. Or, you know,
so you want to buy higher quality stuff and you want him to split the cost with you.
You
want
to go to ABC Carpet and Home and he wants to go to Wamsutta.
Anna, you have to. Anna, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah.
I know you've been thinking about this for a while. Yeah.
This is really tough.
Don't ask for it.
This is really tough. I've dated and been with a lot of kind of broke guys, which was easy because then I got to make all the spending decisions. But now that I am with Chris, turns out he's a big fucking movie star.
My boyfriend's like a very sexy architect, but like that's not movie star income. It's like architect income. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's like on the rise, but on the rise means like I'm not going to spend money on everything. And that's so admirable, right? Like somebody who saves money is like wonderful. Like I love somebody who wants to save money to travel, which is the bottom line. Like we love to travel. And it's so wonderful to be with somebody who wants to save money. But also
have
like,
high thread count sheets.
You need to abstain from this.
That's what I want. Like what's wrong with 500 thread count sheets?
Wait a minute. Isn't there a compromise? Like, can't you get like 400 thread count sheets, but no bedspread? But wait, whoa! But then, what about a trip to Chianti, like the Chianti region?
With the 400 thread count sheets, forget it. Deal breaker.
Listen.
deal breaker. I can't do those little thread counts.
The worst and the best advice that we all have to offer here, which is horrible in general, is that, I guess, open dialogue about financial stuff and what your priorities are is kind of.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's I know it sucks. I'm like your third grade teacher.
I'm like your kindergarten teacher.
Okay, this is from my girlfriend. She just wrote me a note. Amy wrote,
okay,
they need to agree how much discretionary money to set aside each month.
Sweet.
He feels She's a like lawyer. He feels like he has control. She feels like she has freedom.
Fuck yeah, Amy.
I feel like this might be the best advice.
This is my proposed solution. Is that
no? I like the idea.
Yeah,
you
have a conversation,
like a slush fund, like the
exactly
kitty.
A slush fund. That's what I'm talking about.
Like,
you guys agree
kitty
ahead.
In the 50s, they called it pin money.
Right. You agree ahead of time. You know, he feels like he's not concerned that the spending's going to, you know, be rampant, and you feel like you have a little bit of a fund that you can dip into. So, you know, you negotiate it ahead of time what that fund's going to, how much is going to be in that based on your incomes, and adjust as you feel need to. But, you know, that can kind of preempt some fights. That's my thought.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. That's good.
Amy is also a litigation lawyer, and she's super hot. We are just going to charge you about $150 for that session.
Oh, no.
No, no, just kidding. No, no, no. But her advice is good. But also, though, like, I guess talking about finance is so, it's so unsexy. But
it's so necessary. It's so important to talk about it and to understand you that you have probably separate values about it. I mean, you know, I once dated this guy. He was very wealthy, and he was. I offered to go Dutch with him on our first date, and he just looked at me like I was insane. You know, he's like an uber wealthy guy, but he's kind of a mat.
That was hot of you to do that.
But I thought from where I was coming from, just normal punk rock feminism 101, you paid Dutch. And he looked at me like, and he made me feel so small. And he's like, child.
Courtney?
What?
Can I be like the douchebag guy that's trying to date you?
Yeah, if you want
yeah
to try.
Yeah.
What would your line be, Anna?
Okay, we're on a Tinder date, okay?
A Tinder date?
I don't know.
Have you ever heard of Raya? A Raya date.
Yeah. Okay,
we'd be on Raya.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so I'm a studio exec.
Okay.
My name's Brad.
Brad, the studio exec. I'm so there. Yeah. And like you were like one of the 19 producers on Entourage, the movie.
Yeah,
you are by nature a douche. I got it. All right, Brad, I'm so down. Let's go to Soho House. What's up?
Hey, Courtney, what's up? I'm Brad.
Hi, Brad. It's nice. I liked your picture. I like Trap Queen on your Raya profile.
Oh, my God. Fucking, will you spin around for me? You look so fucking hot.
Sure, of course, Brad. Of course. Now, were you the showrunner for? Wait, do you actually have a job?
Okay, yeah, I know you're giving me shit, Courtney, but yeah, I have a fucking job.
Oh, really? And your job is blank, blank, showrunner on blank, blank?
Oh, you actually, I love that you love blank, blank.
Wait, right. I'm losing the thread of my question.
No, I want to make sure that Brad has an actual job. I don't want some aspiring guy climbing Mount Everest. I want a guy with an actual job.
No, My there's an actual job involved.
He's there's a architect. Job, the architecture
like
job.
It's like a pretty hot job.
Okay, right. What's your job, if I may ask?
I'm an event planner.
That's a competitive job in Manhattan. My God.
Yeah.
Are you good at it?
Shut up. I'm
I just know how competitive that shit is. All right. So wait, me and Anna were about to go on our date. So,
yeah, so
hold on.
Continue with your date here.
All right. So we're at Soho House and I'm going to, are you going to ask me for drinks?
Yeah. Is there any way, I don't know. Can I guess what you want to drink? I don't know. You seem like sort of a gimlet kind of gal.
Well, Brad, if you want the truth, when I was in boarding school in New Zealand, I was expelled for providing the roses lime juices for gimlets. I'm not a gimlet kind of gal at all, but I am a Petrus kind of gal. How do you like this $4,000 bottle of Petrus that's on the menu?
I kind of like it, but I got to tell you, the best lamb that I've ever had has been from New Zealand.
Are we going for the Petrus, Brad?
And I don't know if you've like experienced New Zealand lamb, but it's so tender.
It's succulent. Yeah, no, we had a lamb. We had a sheep farm.
And it's best when it's like sort of cooked.
With little mint sauce.
Very rare.
Little mint sauce.
You know what? Mint kind of ruins it. You know, in my opinion.
You're reminding me of this Raya date that I actually did go out at Soho House on. And he called two people that we're both probably friendly with. Two movie star girls.
Oh, my God.
No. Two girls. I'm not naming them. But he called them both C words within the first 20 minutes of the Raya date.
We can say cunts.
Yeah, he called two of my girlfriends cunts. And one I haven't even spoken to in 10 years, but she's still... very close to my family, and the other one's a movie star. He called them both cunts in the first 20 minutes. It was really gross.
Oh my God. All right, we have
I'm so sorry.
We have to go, Catherine. So, any final advice for her or Amy's advice?
Touchy subject, make a discretionary fund.
I agree.
Yeah, I think the legal advice from Amy is incredible.
All right, Catherine, thank you so much.
Catherine, thank you.
Catherine, thank you. Goodbye. Good luck with your anthropology couch.
That's all of a sudden the only thing I want. Like, I never knew I wanted it, but now I think that's
they make
the only
good furniture. It's just one warning.
I love you. You're good nature.
Word of
I
warning.
You.
They make great colors. It's just not great for like two people to lie in the same place. They're not deep enough.
That's what it's now that's our fight. Now that's what I'm going to be fighting for.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Good night.
Thanks, guys.
Hey,
Brad.
Sim does this crazy signal with his finger where he swirls it around.
Did that mean shut up?
I guess it means wrap it all up, but I've never been able to really figure it out. Will you do it again, Sim? Oh.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. No, you're so bad at that. How should I do it?
This is right.
No, you can't even waggle your finger correctly. Oh, Sim, I love you so much.
I
but
love you
I
too.
Also, it wouldn't be an episode if I didn't
if
say
you
fuck
didn't,
you.
Exactly. Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Yes.
Yes. I got Courtney Love to say fuck you to me. I love it.
Courtney, will you say it with like a lot of growl and passion?
Some gusto?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Sim.
Fuck you.
Sim.
Sim, fuck you.
But maybe...
Sim, no. Let me do it like I'm angry and I love her. Sim, fuck you.
That was great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
That's as much as I can muster for right now.
Courtney, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Oh, thanks for having me hang out with you.
We love having you.
I had a calzone. I met the baby. I met the parents. Kiwi's here. Osama's here.
Hey, Courtney.
Yes, darling.
Would you do me a big favor and would you tell me to fuck you, Anna?
No, I don't want
Come
to.
On.
You're so vulnerable.
Please,
and like little.
Please.
You're like
please.
Little.
I'm stronger than
you're
you think.
You're like a little
I'm
doll.
Stronger than
yeah,
you think.
You like to be spun around
yes,
and thrown
I
up
do.
Against
you
that wall, bitch.
You
know that bitch. You know that bitch. You little slut. You little whore. You know you like it. You know you like it, you little fucking whore. Slam. Slam. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah, say you want it again, yeah. And again, and again, you little slut. Fuck you, yeah.
Ow, ow. Right. Courtney.
I guess we know who the top is in this relationship. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm always the bottom.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.